Sir, what's the last thing that you do as you head to the pulpit? He says, I check my fly, John, I check my fly. So, you know, in the old days, you had this big clunky hunk of wood there to hide you in. I'm okay?
You're good.
Pastor Matt there, just in his prayer, spoke of us being with the Lord. And I'm going to talk about mission today, but I want to talk about being with Jesus as we do that. Now, there's a problem. You know, there's this sacred thing that we have. It's made out of wood, pounded wood, and it's got like 1,000 pages. And we call it a Bible, but I've got like 55 Bibles in here. So will you be able to hear Jesus if I don't have a paper Bible in front of you? Hallelujah. Good stuff. This morning I want to talk about Jesus and the disciples who were sent anyway. I have this wonderful family, and one of the members of my family is my nephew. And my nephew has really played a big part in taking care of our family. He took care of our kids when they came for university. They stayed with him for the first couple years. And now we've been living in his yard for the last 2 years since we came home from Niger. And I got a message from him this week. He is the vice president for development at Trinity Western University. And he sent me a message that said, Friday, this coming Friday, the 15th of June, 9:35, the Supreme Court is going to give their decision. Perhaps you've heard, Trinity Western has started a school of law, and the other law schools, many of the law schools in the country have said they don't believe in homosexual marriage and all of these things, euthanasia and abortion. They can't represent the law of Canada. That's before the Supreme Court. They've taken a long time. The decision will come down on Friday. And friends, we need to be praying about that. We are in a country where we have led the way. People have been open. You get tax breaks for contributing to this fellow's wages. And things could very well change. And you know what we'll be doing as we head into that kind of an existence? We'll be heading into what the church has always known. It's been very rare through history that the Church of Jesus Christ has been as honored as it has been in Canada. There is rejection going on. But I want to talk about Jesus and rejection. We're going to look, am I doing this right? I poke this little arrow. Where do I point it? Now it's going to go five ahead. Okay, we're looking at Mark. chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. A friend, a pastor from Burkina Faso, he used to complain about evangelical churches. We've read the Word of God today, and that is so important. But we complain about Catholic churches because they just do tradition. And we believe in the Word of God. And all too many churches don't even read a verse in their service. Today we had a psalm, and we had the beautiful passage from John 7. But I want to read this passage, and it says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performed? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hand on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Okay, there's a scene of rejection. And now, what happens? Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Did he stop? called to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. What I want to point out today, when Jesus came home, everybody knows already about the miracles he's been doing. Everybody's blown away by the wisdom. They couldn't speak against it. But look, he's a carpenter, he's just a tradesman, he's nothing hot. Nowadays we know we can't live without tradesmen, okay? But in those days it wasn't a big thing. He's just a carpenter. He's Mary's son. Now, Mary's son, you don't talk about a woman's son usually in that culture. Are they referring to the thought of people that he was an illegitimate child, putting him down further? The brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, nobody special. His sisters are here. He's nobody special. And their eyes turned from the incredible wisdom that they couldn't understand and the miracles of which they had heard so much, and they took offense at him. Okay? Now, we have to understand we're in a world where we have an enemy who is trying to do all that he can to stop the glorious message that frees people and takes them out of his kingdom. We've got to understand that rejection is very much a part of what we will face. Okay, I've got it on. And, okay, well, every time I poke this, Eric, you punch it. Is it going to work? Okay. Now, there are some examples we read about in Acts where Gamaliel, a wise rabbi, tells the leaders, maybe we shouldn't pick on these guys. There are leaders who raise up movements. And he tells of Theudas. He appeared claiming to be somebody. And about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed. And it all came to nothing. Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Previous movements, they died when their leader died. But Gamaliel saw something different here. And he said, if this is not of God, it'll wither like all the others. But if you're going to fight these guys, you might be fighting God. So, this isn't the Jesus, in the face of rejection, he goes out and does it more. And then he sends his disciples. It's not the first time. We see the same thing in Mark chapter 3, where Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath. And people were bothered. The big shots were bothered. And we read, and they went out trying to figure out how they could kill him. There was rejection. And after that, we have him sending out the 12. And I love how he says it. He appointed them, designating them apostles that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority and to drive out demons. Rejection, and he sends out men. And in this passage we're looking at today, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. When we talk about mission, often we talk about go, 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 go. And we have to understand there is never a time when the sending stops. In the midst of rejection, I don't know if you noticed, but at the end of Jesus' life, after he had been crucified, what did he do? He rose from the dead and he sent. Hallelujah! Oh, come on, you've forgotten. I've been here a million times. I tell you every time in Africa, the preacher's going to explode with praise. Hallelujah! And the people, just to make them feel at home, say amen. Okay? Hallelujah! Amen. thank you. Okay, it keeps people awake as well, but there are all kinds of benefits. And if it's not true, you say garbage, okay? And we can talk about it. But this is so glorious. Our message is not something that withers when there's a little rejection. We need to go on in the middle of no matter what rejection. But how Jesus sent them out counts. In spite of opposition? Okay, where does this go? There we go. How Jesus sent them out. And this is where we want to stop. He went up on a mountainside and called to him. Do you understand that we aren't in a religion where we chase after God? Do you understand the big C word of the Bible? All through the Bible, the King, the glorious King, the Creator, he's saying, come, 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 come. Hallelujah!
Amen.
And he says, he called them to him. This is the beginning, folks. He called them to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, so they could go out and do incredible things. So they could what? Might be with him. That's number one thing. And before we come and go and say, go to the nations, go, make disciples, go, it's first come. He appointed them first job, first reality, first joy to be with him. Hallelujah. That's where it starts. And all too often we've missed it. And we're talking about the love of Jesus, the Spirit of God. It's as we are with Jesus that things can happen. And then, that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Okay, just a few things that we're gonna point out, that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach. Now, they didn't just go out and preach. They were sent. We're going to come back home to that. That he might send them out to preach, to have authority over demons, to drive out demons. This is some stuff that we all too often haven't understood. And then Mark 6 called the 12. He called them to himself, and he sent them out two by two, and he gave them authority. He sent and he gave authority in both of these cases. And when you look at the last time, after his crucifixion and resurrection, he sent, he gave, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and I send you. Hallelujah! So when we're talking about go, 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 come on, go and serve Jesus, go to the nations, we're ahead. Come first. We spend time with Jesus first. First things have got to be first. Where are we? Okay, I poked it. Go, Eric. You know what? I just want you to know, these things very rarely work. And it's just it sort of makes you feel good. But anyway, first things first. In Mark 7, Jesus called them to himself. We're talking about relationship. In Mark 3, he chose them that they might be with him. He sent them out, but first he called them to himself. They were to be with him. Hallelujah. I bet if you point at the right place. Okay, let's talk about being with Jesus. With. This is the simple fact, I'm with you today. I am in your presence, and I love it. Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons why I love it. In 1971, I came here as a bit of a wingnut kid with a choir from CBC, and just a few years before that, I had seen the movie Shangri-La, and I said, this is Shangri-La. You live on a postcard, people. Be thankful to Jesus. This is beautiful. You want to see unbeautiful, go to Niger, and you find out about desolation. But but I'm with you, and I love being with you. I love being with you because you love this lady in the pink. our wonderful sister Lisa, and you have been such a tremendous support to her, and it's so neat. So whenever I can be in your presence, I like it, and I want to tell you thank you, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and move you forward in the wonderful things that you're doing, especially for my little sister. But it means to be in the presence of, and when we talk about Jesus, we need to be coming, coming, coming. All too often, we do the religious thing. You know, I used to think, okay, oh, you know what? I never looked at the clock before I started. Do we have to get out on Sunday? That, the hands are really small on that.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Where was I? When we moved to Niger, like we got to go up to the desert, and nobody, no tourist can freely go up to the desert. It's 2 months after our visit because of hassles up there. But everywhere I looked, I'm seeing desolation. And when we try and do the religious thing, that desolation is a picture of the faith of Niger, 98% Muslim. And it's try, 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 try. When I used to say, oh yes, this whole stuff about Christianity, religions are religions and Christianity is a relationship. Sociologically speaking, Christianity is a religion. That's like nothing. That is like nothing. You want to find out about religion, you go and you see these guys 5 times a day, 17 times they're going to repeat through the day, they're going to repeat that prayer. Many of them don't even understand it. But they have this sort of Arab blah, blah, blah stuff, and they do it. And they're working. And so many came to me and said, I am afraid to die. That's desolation. That's trying, trying, trying. And all too often, those who are to follow Jesus, don't understand. We need to be with Jesus. That's why he said, come, all you who are weary and burdened, come. Hallelujah! And our job is not doing, 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 doing. It's trusting, it's believing, it's loving and being loved. Hallelujah! And so we want to be in the presence of Jesus. We want to be working, working, working as we are in the presence of Jesus. He, by his Spirit, gives us energy, so we just find ourselves working, working, but it's not working. It's living the love of Jesus. Am I yelling too much? I get a little excited. No, people, we do the religious thing. And you see, like, you know, watching the Muslims, and they go to the mosque every night, and I remembered all the faithful saints, usually of a certain degree of grayness, going on Wednesday night, being at the church, and being here, being there, fulfilling the rites. But that's some of the activity we do, but that's not the root. That's not it. We are in the presence of Jesus. We come to him and we receive his love, we receive his Spirit, we receive his holiness and his power. Hallelujah! And it's useless to think about going if we're not going to spend time with Jesus in his presence. And he so freely offers. He's the one who calls us. When we think about with, we think about, I think we did it together. Boop. There we go. With and not against. All too often, was it last night or the night before, one of the speakers was talking about, we need to seek the face of Jesus and not his hands. As we seek the face of Jesus, we get all of Jesus. But all too often, we are seeking in our Christian religious experience stuff. And when Jesus doesn't give us the stuff, we can actually work against him. We can be frustrated with him. And in the end, so many have walked away. Because they weren't ever seeking to be with him. They were for themselves. And if Jesus wasn't doing what they wanted him to do, it would be that they would be against Jesus. And we see in Africa, when some people who we think come to Jesus, they've come to that jingly pocket of the white man because there's money there. And so they're looking for this, they're looking for that, but they're not with Jesus. They can very well be against Jesus because they're looking for all the stuff that they've thought was attached to it. But we want to be in his presence. We want to be totally with him. Thy will be done. Amen? With just another aspect of being with Jesus. And with, when we are with, we are paying attention to, taking time to listen and obey. You know, I am just so thankful. I've had a few experiences, beautiful experiences, when Jesus just really showed me something just so obvious. We turn the clock around. Anyway, I'm going to tell you one of them. One of them. I was, I'm a little bit gibbled, and the doctors say that I got a transverse myelitis, and inflammation set itself across my spinal cord, and damaged some nerves, so my brain screams at my feet here, huh? And we're not really connected well, so I'm a little gibbled. And when this had started in 1992, it came to Christmas time, and I took a lot of ibuprofen. I thought it was like Tylenol, you can take a whole bunch and it doesn't burn your belly, doesn't do anything bad, it's really bad. But I was taking 600 milligrams every 3 hours, which is really bad for you. And my belly was starting to give me problems, and but I didn't have as much pain, hallelujah, you know. So we went at a Christmas, we went to a Christmas banquet in this church where we were, and this sweet lady across the table, it was assumed that I had contracted MS. And this sweet lady across the table, oh yeah, my mom had MS 3 years. Hallelujah, all that encouragement. I went to the bathroom, barfed my guts out. Oh, you don't say that in church. I vomited in the bathroom, and I came back, and we went home, and we were in Edmonton staying with my wife's parents, and we put the kids and Brenda to bed, and I went and knelt at a chair. I just asked Jesus, what are we doing? What's happening? Do we stay home? People were saying, sure, go back to Africa, but count on coming back either in a box or on a wheelchair. And Jesus, what are we doing? He gave me this beautiful picture. There's a whole bunch of black people, and they're walking toward the light. And in the middle, there's one little white guy. And it was this one. Hallelujah. God is so good. He wants to speak to us. I'm really, really praising the Lord that our family is waking up to the fact that He wants to speak to us much, much more. Have you run into that? All through the Word, the Lord spoke to people. And at our assembly, that was hit a bunch. And since we've come home a couple years now, we're hearing, listen to Jesus. And some people get a little bit, I'm not sure we can do that because, you know, there's these maniacs. They're going, Jesus told me that you should marry me. Yeah, right. Well, anyway. But there's a lot of abuse of that. But there are wonderful principles that we can follow so that we can stay sensitive to correctly, biblically hear the voice of God. And as we do, we can step out and do what He gives us to do. And so often, I wonder how many times I missed the voice of Jesus, and I never did. I praise Him. In my ignorance, He blessed me. He used me. He did so many wonderful things, and I am a thankful man. But as I am with Him, I don't... Have you had somebody with you, and you know they're off shopping, or you know that they're off with that turkey over there? Their presence is there, but they're not paying attention. You know that? All too often. We, even in our sacred sweetness or something, we haven't realized Jesus wants to talk to us. And as He talks to us, He wants us to pay attention. That's part of being with, to hear. And we be careful. It's got to line up with Scripture. It's got to be God's Word. We put it before the saints. We trust God to speak faithfully. We reject all the garbage the enemy wants to foist on us. We hear and obey. And I believe that's part of what being with means. And I'm thankful that the church is waking up to that reality. It was very much a part of the early days of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And it's obvious it was a huge part of the early days of the church. And we believe it's Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So Jesus calls us to be with him in his presence, not against him, but with him totally and paying attention, ready to do what he so wonderfully wants to tell us to do. And there we go. And so we see him in John 17. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, being with Jesus, as we're paying attention, we are taking his words into us. Okay, she's never going to tell you, but your little sister here, she's a crazy memorizer of the scripture. Yeah, I won't tell you how much. Like, I mean, books, not just a verse, not just a paragraph, not just a chapter, books. And but we're called to take in his word. And if those words stay in us, we can ask whatever we wish, and it'll be done. If you keep my commands, you will remain, abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. We have to understand that love means doing what the beloved asks us to do. Men and women, husbands and wives, huh? If we love, we do what the beloved asks. Now, there's a huge problem with... All right, take it away, Eric. We went too far. Okay. We all too often allow the enemy... What's the main task of the enemy? Is his name not the accuser of the brethren? And he loves abusing this. If you love him, you're going to obey him, and look at the stupid stuff you're doing. I'm going to try harder. And that's the program. Jesus gives us his spirit, fills us, lives in us. And so he calls us to come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. My yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That means obedience to him, his yoke, he's doing it with us. His burden is light. And as it gets heavy, look and see where the enemy has slid his way in and twisted. It's not the program. Coming to Jesus is not a burden. Loving Jesus is not a burden. As we obey his commands, allowing his spirit to work in us, it is not a burden. And John says it, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. So I'm not sitting here telling you, okay, you got to be with Jesus, means do this. No. I'm saying, listen to him. Come. Spend time with him. Make sure your motives are to be with and not against, and spend time in his, listening to him in his presence, ready to do what he calls to, knowing that he will help, knowing that he is the one who does it through us. Hallelujah. Okay, then and only then he sent them out. Hallelujah. Now, a couple things to see here. Sent with authority. Okay, oopsie, we went too far then and only then. We're great, Eric. Okay, sent. We are not sent by some little turkey saying, okay, go and do this for me. We are sent by the king. One time the king asked me to do something. Freaked me out. We met with the president in Benin, Matthew Kérékou, who was a Christ follower. A neat man who was striving to live for God and lead the country correctly. We spent time with him. I had a little projector there. I had my computer and a projector. He comes and says, I got one of these, but I don't got one of those. And so as we were leaving, he didn't have a projector for his computer. As we're leaving, his secretary comes and says, the old man wants you to help him find a projector. The president said, Timmy, do something. So I'm going to say, yeah, right, I ain't got time for that stuff. I'm busy, man. I spent 2 days online looking for the best deals, looking for the best kind of thing, and I didn't have a clue, but I just wanted to do what the president said to do. President Schmesident. Jesus The one who sends us with the authority of the King. Hallelujah! Oh, come on, you bunch of wusses or what? Hallelujah! Yes, yes. It's for the King. It's for the King with authority. You know, when your kid says, get me something I want, yeah, like, there's no authority, no worry. When the King, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, so go. That's all authority, folks, in heaven and on earth. All of the spiritual powers that want to come against us are under his authority, which he gives to us. We have authority over them. All authorities on earth, and as the power, the political powers of our country make decisions against us, they do not have authority over us. Do you understand that? We walk in obedience to the laws of the land as long as they do not go against the dictates of the leading of Jesus. But we have a greater authority. And our authority is greater than the power of demons or whatever. So he sends them out. He's the King. He needs to be listened to. He sends with authority. I just want to read really quickly some stuff from the book of a friend, a man who served in Mali. Chuck Davis, in the book The Bold Christian. I want to really recommend this to you. I'm going to read these things quickly, just some logic in here, so we can understand authority, which we have not understood. Here, first, God is primarily interested in a relationship with us. I hope you caught that this morning. That's the first thing. And not performance from us. God loves you just the way you are. You cannot do anything to add to that love nor take away from that love. Do you understand that? Just think about it. That's the reality. But it goes one step further. God loves you so much that he will not leave you in the condition that you in the condition that you find yourself. He's always ready to move us on. He's the one who does the work. But it's the relationship. He wants us to be with him. Oop, oh, it worked. Second, one of the most consistent backdrops of the biblical narrative is spiritual warfare. Two kingdoms are at battle, the kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light, both powerful. The kingdom of darkness, though powerful, is an inferior kingdom. The kingdom of light is superior, but still must set up to reclaim what was stolen from it. Okay, and it's not like the powers of darkness are greater than the powers of Christ, not at all, but we have to reclaim what the enemy has taken. Does that make sense? It's relationship first. We are in a battle, and we have to reclaim that which the enemy has taken. And then, the authority of the believer is not a gimmick or a magic wand against trouble in our lives. Authority flows from our relationship and our position in Christ. We don't just sign a blue card at church that says, I ask Jesus in my heart. Our relationship with Jesus is the basis on which upon which we are given authority. And because God is more interested in who I am becoming than in my comfort level, sometimes becoming like Jesus and helping others experience him in the same way will place me in the middle of suffering, hardship, and trouble. I want to let you know today I'm seriously bugged. I am bothered. I'm gibbled, and I asked Jesus to heal me this week. But you know what? I'm a little boy from Canada who knows zero. And the King has a better plan. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to go all the way. I want, and I believe that one day I'm going to come and I can dance. I'll be able to dance. Howie, we'll go dancing. Come up here. I believe that he's going to heal me. But he's got a better plan. And I can submit to that. And I want to know everything of him. I want to be filled with him. And I believe that he's going to give me my legs back when it's the time. It's not a magic gimmick. We have this authority to claim back from the enemy what he's taken in God's perfect time, and he loves us. He doesn't mess with us. Hallelujah! Jesus loves you. The creator of the universe loves you. He's wild about you, and he will never let you fall into garbage as you follow him. And any pain he will use to make us all like Jesus. And in his time, he delivers. So, Thus, I do not embrace a theology that states that a Christ follower operating with authority will never face challenging circumstances. We can have problems. We still have authority. We can face those demons. I instead want to arm us with authority to stand against the opposition and brokenness that are not part of God's design to bring greater good in and through our lives. It's relationship. He wants us to know his love. We're in a battle. And we receive, in our relationship with Jesus, we receive authority. We overcome the powers of darkness. Hallelujah! Amen. It's not a magic wand. Sometimes the Lord's plan can allow for pain, but we push back everything the enemy wants to do. And we accept God's plan, and his time, he delivers. Hallelujah! So what did the disciples do? They went out, preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. This week, as your pastor said, we heard a lot about this. The filling of God. Overflowing. Not just a little wee leak, but so filled and overflowing that it touches the world. That the Spirit of God flows through us and does his work drawing people to himself. They went out, they preached. And so Jesus, you know, he said, greater things than these, the stuff that I've done, you're going to do greater things. Was he talking in the air? Did he change? Was it just for back then and it's not for now? I have lived far too much of my life not claiming all that he has wanted for me and wanted to do through me. And I think about the people that he wanted to free through me that I never heard him on and I never believed him. And so here I am, I'm talking to you something, I'm in the middle understanding we have to let Jesus do what he wants to do. In the face of opposition, Jesus sent out the disciples. And they went and won over demons, sickness, bringing people to repentance. And in spite of growing opposition to Jesus, Jesus still sends us. He sends us as we remain with him, in him, receiving his authority to do the task. This is my notes. I got it now. I'm beginning to see this in a new way. And I don't want to walk in disobedience to the words of the Lord Jesus. And I wanna see this church. You sent a woman the Lord has used powerfully. And the Lord has used her powerfully because she spends time with Jesus. She is with Jesus first. And she's gone in his authority. And she longs for more and more of the power, the authority of God to be working through her. The Lord wants all of us to be living that. And I want to allow him to do it more and more in my life. May we all do that. And as we know him, be ready that he might send us, that he will send people. He will have us send people as they are with him, as they are sent by him. Let's pray. Holy Father, we are so incredibly blown away by your wonderful goodness. Father, in an age when the church is beginning to have rejection, and we realize, like it's sort of scary, Father, but we realize that Jesus never backed up a bit, but he went out that much more, and he sent. We want to offer ourselves to you, Father, that you would send us. Help us to understand this. Help us to chuck all the religious garbage, Father, and help us to come to Jesus, to receive your infilling, your love, your power, and to let you send us with the authority that only you have. Thank you so much, Holy Father. We praise and glory in you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much.